Okay, so we started talking about Ketanim. We're in Siman Kuf Tzadi Ches. And we mentioned this amazing idea. We mentioned basically a machlokas rishonim about whether Ketanim should make a Zimun on their own. According to the Rambam, at least in the Kisvei Yad Girsos, they should. And according to our Girsa, in the Gemara, they shouldn't. We talked about why you would say that they shouldn't be mitzdarif. In other words, what the Rambam's position is, the easier position to understand. We talked about why our Girsa is that they shouldn't be mitzdarif, which of course is the halacha. Even Sfardim don't do this because the Beis Yosef, the Pashtas, had the already the girsa that excludes ketanim. But so we talked about why ketanim would be different, let's say, than nashim. Why is it that nashim have a concept of zimun, whether it's zimun shel chov or zimun shel rishus, but ketanim don't even have a concept of zimun shel rishus, against the Rambam. But we also saw how the way the Beis Yosef learned the sugya of Yodei Levarich, so we could understand the position of the Rambam. Namely, we could understand that the Beis Yosef told us the difference between Limduhu, which couldn't be Mitztaref in a Zimun. And I guess this point is even true. According to the Beis Yosef's point, is when could a katan join a zimun of a gadol? So the Beis Yosef explained that if it's limduhu, maybe zigia l'chanoch for birkas hamazon, but he can't be mitzdarif to a zimun. It's only a katan who's yodea levarich. And the difference is it something that he understands, or it's just he's mechonach, so he knows how to answer the questions, right? It's a big difference between knowing how to answer the questions that the Rebbe asks, versus really understanding the concept, and especially the concept of a Kaddish Baruch Hu. So that's what we saw last time. I think we closed with an interesting question the Beis Yosef has. The question Beis Yosef has is, again, this is all within the perspective that a katan whose yodea levarich could be mitzdarif lezimun. So the Rambam mentions an age. The Rambam says 7, 8. And the Rif says 9, 10. And the question is, well, what about if you had, let's say, a 6-year-old, and the 6-year-old really knew how it was Yodea? He was Yodea Lami Mevarech. So what's the halacha? What would the Rambam say? So the Beis Yosef is misubik about it. Why? Because he doesn't spell this out, but presumably what's behind the suffix is because the story in the Gemara has a episode in which we have these little kids. We don't know exactly how old they were, but they were obviously younger than the age of 7, and they were very precocious. And even at this young age, they understood Lami Mevarchim. That's the story in the Gemara, Mem Ches Med Aleph, Abai V'Rava, Habiyas B'Kamei D'Rabba, Amar Lahu Rabba, Lami Mevarchim, Amar Le L'Rachmana, Rachmana Hecha Yasid. So what was the follow-up question? He's trying to figure out, are they just answering L'Rachmana, we bench to God because they are, because Limduhu, or do they really understand? So he asked him a follow-up question. Rachmana Hecha Yasid. Rava Achwish L'Shmei Talala. Rava pointed to the ceiling, pointed up. Abai Nafik L'Vra L'Vara Achui Klape Shmaya. Abai steps outside and points to Shemayim. So you could understand this as either a machloikas or no, everybody agreed. Abai was just showing that he wasn't just imitating Rava, but he really understood. So Rava concludes, these tarvaichu rabbanan havisu, you're going to be great rabbanim. So they were quite precocious. So the question is, what do we learn from this story? So the Beis Yosef says, maybe we learn from the story that even though normally it's only pe'utos, only someone 7, 8, 9, 10, such a child could be mitzdarif lezimun because such a child might be odei lami mevarchim. But if you have a precocious child, even less than that, they could also be mezamein. That's one way to learn it. But on the other hand, the Rambam didn't mention that halacha. In other words, the Rambam, when he quotes his halacha, mentions the age bracket, and he doesn't say, you know, b'med var mamurim, when they're regular, but if they're 5 years old, then you test them and they show that they really understand, then you can include them. So that's why the Beis Yosef is misopek l'chora. Maybe it's because you can't really know. It's very hard to figure out on a practical level how to test this, right? So it's true, Rabba was a master developmental psychologist, and he could figure out what's really behind their Havana, but that's not something that we could do on a regular basis. So then the Beis Yosef says that the Rashban and Rivash both say explicitly that less than seven, you can't be mitzdarif. In other words, even if you learn the Gemara like the Rambam, still you can't be mitzdarif, maybe because it's a low plug, maybe because it's hard to test. There are those who disagree. The Ritva, for example, understands, like the Beis Yosef originally wanted to say, that even 5 years old, the physio de'elim yivarchim, so then mizamnin alav. Okay, so this interesting shayla. Would it, let's say it's yodelim mivarchim, right? So should you be mazkir shem Hashem for Zimun Asara? Now, the fact that the Beis Yosef didn't say anything sounds like you fully are mitzdarif him, right? So you have, you know, nine adults, let's say, and one kid, he's Yodela Mimavarich, you're going to say Elokeinu. Now, okay, that's fine, but it's actually not fine. It's very, very problematic. Why? Because if you remember before, we saw that the Beis Yosef told us that the idea of being Mazkir Shem in a Zimun of 10 is because it's a Davar Shebekdusha. Remember, where did the Beis Yosef said that? He said, why did the Rambam hold that when you have 10 women benching, they don't mention the shame? Ah, very simple. It's because Davar Shebekdusha. And women, though they could create a Zimun, they're not a Davar Shebekdusha. Well, if we assume that we would say the shame when we include the Katan in the Zimun, so that tells us that a kid could be included in a Davar Shebekdusha. Well, is that true? Is that true that we would include a kid in a Davar Shebekdusha? It's not true, because the Rambam in Hilchos Tefillah, again, some of the Bali Atosfos talk about the possibility of including a Katan, but that's not the view of the Rambam. The view of the Rambam is that this is only a discussion by Zimun. I'll read you the Beis Yosef over here, Simen Kuf Tzadi Tes. He writes, Va'afilu yesh minem katan amutu v'arizu she'in bo das dil davar shekdusha lo ba'inan da'ita ela shetei shechina shara. Okay, that opinion, avo b'zimun, ba'inan da'ita, shari ha'mizamein omer l'chadero shizdamnu l'varech v'chol shesh minem mi she'in bo das dil shayach zimun. Aval adidad, dil davar shebekdusha ein mitzdarfin katan amutu v'arizu davar shebekdusha chamer mizimun. So though it was a debate in the Gemara whether Zimun is more chamer than Davar Shebekdusha or Davar Shebekdusha is more chamer than Zimun, the way we paskin is that Davar Shebekdusha is more chamer than Zimun. And therefore, for Davar Shebekdusha, we're not mitzdarif katan at all, but for Zimun, we are. B'chein das harav yona, shekasav gabe ha de'amar rav nachman, katan yodel mimivarchin, mizamnin alav, d'daf galemim b'rkaz amazon, osin osel snifin. Avalo l'kadesh u'likdusha u'libarechu. We don't include the kid for other things, for kadesh kedushin baruchu. Why? Because kadesh kedushin baruchu is davar shekedusha, davar shekedusha requires ten gedolim. We can't include a kid. That's the view of the Shulchan Aruch, that's the view of the Rambam. That's what he writes. V'ner shezeu das harifa, Rambam, shalos kiru tziruf, dekatan l'tfila. And not only that, but behedia kasav Rambam in perek ches, of hilchos tfila, enos and bepachos me'asar gedoylim. The Rivash also says this is the view of the Rambam. Oh, Very nice. So now we have a steer and a Beis Yosef. Why? Because over here, the Beis Yosef writes that saying Elokeinu is not a davar shebikdusha. And that's why we could be mitzdaif a katan. And yet, he says earlier, when explaining why women can't say Elokeinu, he says, because it's a davar shebikdusha, we can't include women. So this is a problem. In other words, you could, as we noted before, in terms of the Gemara, you could go both ways. You could understand that the shame in 10 people's iman is begetter davar shebikdusha. You could say, not that way. But what's the Beis Yosef Shita? Seems like there's a steer in the Beis Yosef. It's not just in his own Shita, but B'das HaRambam. Lulei the Beis Yosef, you could explain that the Rambam held that the reason why Nashim Rana Mizamnos is not because it's a Davar Shebikdusha, for some other reason. For example, the Magen Avraham, Sifkatan Vav, Kot Rabbeinu Yonah, that were more makel by Birkas HaMazon, Shiyoch Levarich Be'atzmo, Mashein Ken Kaddish V'Kedusha. In other words, you can't say the Zimun by yourself, but you can, you could say, you could bench by yourself. As opposed to Kaddish Kedusha there, you need a minion. Trebenu Yonah Al-Arif, to Lamed Him Abbas B'Tarif, Agav, the Beis Yosef, the Magen Avraham quotes it in a funny way. I don't know exactly what to do with it. I'll read to you the Lashon of Rabbeinu Yonah. V'davkala inyan berkas hamazon osin oso snifin mipnei shekol echad b'fnei atzmo yachol liftor atzmo mechiyav berkas hamazon. So since everybody could bench on their own, so therefore we'll include the katan of a kaddish u'likdusha u'levarachu shekol echad v'echad lo haya yachol liftor atzmo mechiyav. Now you can't say kaddish on your own. So then tzach shikulam b'nei mitzvah. The Magen Avraham, when he quotes that Rabbeinu Yonah, he writes, "She'enu tzarach lechol yoser kal letzarfo." In other words, since you don't have to eat, it's easier. That's not what the Rabbeinu Yonah says exactly. So I don't know how to explain that. But one way or the other, the point is that there are other ways to explain the difference between Birkas HaMazon and Tefillah. We don't have to come on to Davar Shebikdusha, but within a Beis Yosef, it's a difficulty, right? It's a difficulty. Does the Beis Yosef really think it's Davar Shebikdusha or not? I don't know the answer. Now, yes, Aaron.
So we're kind of discussing this a little earlier, but in terms of standing up for Elokeinu, so I saw two opinions. I saw Eshel Avram quotes on that he would stand the entire time, and the Sam Sofer and Or Chaim Simon Aleph, he says that even though it's a Davar Shebikdusha, we sit because here the yeshiva, the kvias, is really what the halacha is all about. So I was just wondering, Minhag HaOlam seems to be just like skyrocketing when Elokeinu comes up. So I was wondering if there's a makor of this idea of just standing for Elokeinu.
Thanks. A shtickle pshara. It should be worthwhile to point out that the din of standing for Davar Shebikdusha is also not Pashut. Sfaradim don't stand for Davar Shebikdusha, as Adam will tell you. You remember from Fort Lee, right? When you were in Fort Lee, Miss Dummy, you didn't stand up when they were saying Kaddish. So even for Ashkenazim, it's not Pashut. But let's assume you're right. The logic of standing up for Elokeinu presumably is that the Elokeinu is the aspect of Davar Shebikdusha, I suppose. In other words, that reflects, and that's why you stand up. I don't know. Yes, Yosef, you're muted.
When it comes to the difference between the Magen Avraham versus Rabbeinu Yonah, so he's saying, "Diboy lo achil," could there be a nafka mina in Shabbos or the like?
It could be, but again, why is the Magen Avraham quoting Rabbi Yonah in a funny way?
Well, when we have these parentheses, is that the Magen Avraham or meaning the typist or whatever we call them?
I don't know. I assume it's the Magen Avraham.
Okay.
But I don't know, maybe. Yeah, conceivably that would be right. Okay. So what is the age? We mentioned that for Sfardim, there is this possibility of including Ktanim, Sheyodei Levarchem, and Eziman. And the question is, at what age does this start? So the Shulchan Aruch writes Pe'utos. It doesn't explain what age it is. The Magen Avraham writes 9 or 10. Where do you get that from? So we already mentioned the Rambam says 7 or 8. The Rif says 9 or 10. So the Magen Avraham seems to be taking the Rif and Rambam and paskening l'chumra, as opposed to the Beis Yosef, who basically seems to be saying that there's no machlokas at all. It's whatever age in that range that the Yodei Elamim Mevarchem is acceptable. The Mishnah Brura quotes the Yesh Omrim that it's 6 years old. Now, where does he get that from? Isn't that less than the Rambam? I'm assuming that he doesn't mean to say Sof Sheish, which is Tchila Shava, which is the Rambam. So where is he getting this idea of six? So if we look at the Shar Tzion, he writes, this is the Rivash. Now, this is the Rivash writes, Kevan Sheish. So even if it's against the Rambam, that's the Psak of the Rivash. And if you look at the Beis Yosef, it's not clear. The Beis Yosef sort of sounds like the Rivash is not coming to argue with the Rambam. Though, you know, because it doesn't sound like it's quoted as Machlaikas. So there are different views. I saw in the Dirshu note 17, it quotes from the Orla Tzion, that you could be Makel starting 6 years old. But all that is not relevant for Ashkenazim, because Ashkenazim paskin like the Rosh, that you can't include a kid until he's 13. So none of this is relevant for Ashkenazim. The Ramah writes that Minastam, when he is 13, you could be machzik him as a gadol. Now, why is that? So the Shar Tzion writes, if katan yutes, that's because Rov Poskim hold that Zimun is derabanan. And we know the principle is that when it comes to dinim derabanan, we assume that when a kid is 13, he has sairos, you don't have to do a bedika. So therefore, kids 13, you can treat him like an adult in Zimun. Now, that is, of course, assuming that the kid is not being motzi, the gedolim, and the birkas hamazon. In other words, the way we do Zimun, where everybody benches on their own. So then it's just a shayla of the derabanan, a shayla of Zimun. And therefore, you know, no problem. The kid, it's his bar mitzvah. You can ask him on his bar mitzvah to lead the Zimun, the way we bench. However, they point out that, but what if you hold like the Chazon Ish and other Achronim who argue that Zimun of Shlosh is deraisa? So then, l'chayre, you can't have the bar mitzvah boy lead the Zimun, tzarech levadko. So some say, taka, if you hold like the Chazon Ish, you can't do it. So I don't know. You have to find out in Bnei Brak, do they let the bar mitzvah bachar lead the Zimun? Could be that the Mekilim are being so meich on the fact that many, many Rishonim hold that even if he is a kid. So maybe it's a fake. I don't know exactly. Yeah, Aaron, you're going to ask a question.
The Mishnah Berurah says straight out that you can't be Yotz Motzi people in Birkas HaMazon. But actually, not a relevant point. I guess my main question is that the Mishnah Berurah says that if someone is Bodate and they find that he doesn't have Besa Aros, you're not allowed to include him. So often when you go to a shul, so there's different types of bar mitzvah boys. You could tell there's some that are just really high pitched. Now, I'm saying it's clear that he's really below puberty line in comparison.
Yeah, you don't know if that's Besa Aros or not. There's no way to tell whether a kid has...
Really? Like a...
Without, really. The different stages of development... When it comes to the outward manifestations that you would notice, you still can't tell if they have Beis Iris or not. So it's basically, we're makel on Aldenim de Rabbanan when he's 13, until he has facial hair. Once he has facial hair, then we will assume that he's a Vaday Gadol, even for Dinim D'Oraisa. Yes, Adam.
I saw that in Shulchan Aruch somewhere else, maybe Rav Adik was, that he defines the age of Pu'utos as six, based on, like, in Hilchos Mechira, the Rambam says...
So it's not a kasha in the Rambam, because the Rambam doesn't use the term Pu'utos. In other words, the Rambam says 7 or 8, and the Rif says 9 or 10, and the Beis Yosef says, oh, that's Pu'utos. Right, where we say Mechon and Mechra and Karn Memkar. So it's not a stira in the Rambam, because the Rambam doesn't say anything about Pu'utos. From the Rambam, you could say that this isn't Pu'utos, right? It's only an issue within the Beis Yosef. And what's interesting is that even though the Beis Yosef usually likes to quote the Lashon of the Rambam, over here he doesn't. He introduces his own Lashon.
Mm-hmm.
And I think the reason why the Beis Yosef does that is because he's trying to put the Rif and the Rambam together and show that there's no machlokas. And in order to do that, because it does seem like there's a machlokas, right? Which one is it? So he introduces the concept of putos. And one reason why that is a good mahalich is because, generally speaking, it's not the derech of the Rambam to argue with the Rif, especially about something like this. So if you don't like the Beis Yosef, then there's not really a machlokas. So that's why he introduces the term, the concept of pe'utos. Now, what you're pointing out, which makes a lot of sense, is that if that's the case, so then you could also, you know, what the Rivash says when he says the age of six. So that's consistent, right? And maybe you could even further suggest that the Beis Yosef learned that way. Why? Because the Beis Yosef presents the view of the Rivash, and it doesn't sound like, though this isn't clear, it doesn't sound like he sees, oh, there's a machlokas here between the Rambam and the Rivash. He quotes the Rivash as well, everybody agreeing. So therefore, we could say what you're suggesting, which is even according to Beis Yosef, from the age of six, it's okay, right? Why? Because, first of all, that's the impression you get from the Beis Yosef himself, that he thinks that the Rivash, the Rambam, and the Rif are all saying the same thing, even though the Rivash says six, the Rambam says 7, 8, the Rif says 9, 10. And the logic would be that it's Pu'utos. And they're each giving their own examples. The difficulty, of course, of that shot is, you know, well, then why did the Rambam say 7, 8? If he meant six, right? In other words,
norm.
What?
That's the norm that people...
Yeah, but it's a different formulation than he says in Hilchos Mechira when he talks about the din of Pu'utos. And there he calls it Pu'utos, right?
Could we say there's different ages of Pu'utos for Mechira and for...
Well, then your whole din is out the window because you
right,
just...
Right, that. But is that a possibility?
It is a possibility, but then don't call it Pu'utos. Just say, in other words... There, one is a din of Mekach Memkar, one is a din in Yodel Elmi Mevarech. If you would have asked me, I would have said that's a Pasha John Rambam. But I think that's where some Sephardi Poskim have this idea that even from the age of six, if Yodel Elmi Mevarech, where are they getting that from? Either Rambam says 7, 8, the Rif says 9, 10. Well, yeah, but the Rivash is 6. And the Beis Yosef in the Shulchan Aruch uses Pu'utos, and Pu'utos usually means six. So putting that all together, it makes sense that at least the Beis Yosef held that starting from the age of six is possible. And then you don't have to introduce a chalak between Mekach HaMemkar and Birkas HaMazon. So is that what Rav Adya says? I saw that the Or LeZion also is quoted as saying from the age of six.
Right. Yeah, Rav Adya says six.
Ah, so that's what you
do? I thought the Or LeZion says, but for 10, you should wait for 9. But Ravadi, okay. There's no
that's
reason
fine.
To do that, because he doesn't think there's any suffix brachos ha'akel here.
And he thinks it's pashut, that for the age of 6.
Yeah. He thinks Shulchan Aruch for sure holds that based on the...
Okay, good. Interesting. Okay. So, and we talked about before, Shir, the question of what an Ashkenazi should do with Sfardim are making a Zimun. And could you be more? Is there more of a tzad to be makel with three? More of a tzad to be machmir with a minion of ten? Ayin shem. Okay, let's turn to the question of cheresh. So the Shulchan Aruch writes, again, we're in Siman Kuf Tzadi Tes, the Rama says, the cheresh v'shota im mechuvanim u'mevinim mitzdarfin lezimon afal pi shena cheresh shomei abracha. So if you have a cheresh and a shota, if they are able to be mechavein and mevin, so they can mitzdarf into the zimon, even though the cheresh doesn't hear the bracha. So the question is, how could this be that we're being mitzarf them? Don't we assume that they don't have halachically have das, right? Maybe according to the Chaber, you could say that, well, you don't need das because the katan is tarif. So you don't need das gamor. But the Maril is the one who said this halacha, and the Maril says that a katan can be mitzarif. And likewise, the Rama paskins that you can't be mitzarif a katan. So if you can't be mitzarif a katan, so why mitzarif a chesh v'shaita? So that's why the Magen Avraham writes over here that we're talking about a chesh v'daber v'enu shomeya, and we're talking about a shota that's not a shota gamor. And that's why they are mitzarif. However, the question still arises, okay, they could be mitzarif, but could they be mizamin? And we'll specifically talk about a cheresh that is a medaber ve'eno shomea, which is quite common nowadays. Most cheroshim nowadays are medaber ve'eno shomea. Now, there is a discussion in the poskim, which we're not going to get into now, whether medaber ve'eno shomea is dafka means because he lost his hearing, or no, even if from birth he was totally deaf, but he learned how to speak through the various techniques of speech. And nowadays, you could also add the discussion of a cochlear implant. Does that change things? But we're going to assume right now that whatever their status is, someone who has the halachic status of a medaber ve'eno shomea, which is what this Rama is talking about, so is it okay for them to lead zimun? Well, I guess a cochlear implant, it's medaber and shomea, so let's leave that out. Let's talk about a case of a medaber ve'eno shomea. So he could speak, but he can't hear anything at all. So can such a person, a deaf person, lead the zimun? That's the shaila that we have to ask. So the simple reading of the Rama and the Magen Avraham is that they could, that there's nothing wrong with a deaf person leading the zimun. However, the Bir Halacha says, not so fast. Maybe the cheresh, who's medaber ve'eno shomea, should not lead zimun. Why? If you remember, we said in Siman Kuf Pehei, Siv Beis, L'chatchila tzarech lashmia le'ozno, that when you're benching, so you should hear l'chatchila, the words that you're saying. And therefore, this cheresh is not able to hear the words that he's saying. Again, assuming that's the case, assuming he can't hear anything he says. So in that case, his birkas hamazon isn't l'chatchila. Okay, so it's not l'chatchila. Obviously, it's the right thing for him to do because he's no other choice, right? And we said you're yotze, even if you're medaber ve'eno shamea. So the cheresh will be medaber ve'eno shamea, no problem. That's the lechatchila for him. But now the question is, should he lead the zimun? So says the Bir Halacha over here, maybe he shouldn't lead the zimun. Why? Because when you are yotze through his dibor, and since his dibor isn't a lechatchila dika dibor, because he cannot hear his dibor. So just like it's not lechatchila for him, it's not lechatchila for you. And even though it is lechatchila for him, because for him it's yafshe b'nin acher, but still for you it wouldn't be lechatchila, because since you're not deaf you should hear the words that you're saying. And even though you could hear his words, but still you can't, he can't hear his words. And therefore for you, it's not l'chatchila. That's what the Bir Halacha says. And he says, I found that Rabbi Akiva Eger says this. So in the Bir Halacha, in our siman, it doesn't say where Rabbi Akiva Eger is. In the Bir Halacha, in Simon Kuf Tzadi Tes, he also quotes the same Bir Halacha, and there he writes, Bir Halacha b'Simon Nun Gimel. I couldn't find it. Maybe I didn't look hard enough. So I haven't seen the Rabbi Akiva Eger inside, though again, he's quoted twice by the Bir Halacha. Now, one could argue that even if you accept this Chiddush of Rabbi Akiva Eger, and in a moment we'll say why it's not so Pashat, it wouldn't really be a problem for the way we do Zimun. Why? Because we're not Yotzei with the bracha of the Mezame. In other words, Bishlam, if you did Zimun like in the olden days, where the Mezame would be Motzi everybody else, so then we'll say, since the Mezame is not Shomea, Masha Medaber, so too, we who are Yotzei through his speech have the din of Medaber ve'eno shomeya, and therefore it's not l'chatchila for us. But since we're not Yotze anyway, Berkas Hamazon, maybe it would be l'chatchila for us. So the Mishnah Berura over here is unsure about that point. Maybe it's okay the way we do Zimun. But in light of Rabbi Akiva Eger, he says, and I meant the other. This is Simon Kuf Tzadi Tes. It's also quoted in Simon Nun Hei, is what I meant to say, Simon Nun Hei Sif Ches. In Simon Nun Hei Sif Ches, he says that in terms of being the shots, he shouldn't do that. He shouldn't do that. So again, what does the Bir Halacha conclude? The Bir Halacha in Kuf Tzadi Tes says that he shouldn't lead the Zimun if others are being Yotzei through him. And likewise in Simon Nun Hei, he says he shouldn't be the Shilich Tzibor. And even though Shalich Tzibor, maybe you'd say, also nobody's being Yotzei through him because we all say our own Shmona Esrei, still, he seems to be nota that you shouldn't do it. So a deaf person should not be the shatz. That's what the Bir Halacha is inclined to assume in Simon, based off of this Rabbi Akiva Eger. However, this is not Pashut. And you could argue on two grounds. There's two reasons why you could disagree with the conclusion here of the Shaar Tzion on our Siman. Number one is a point that the Tashbetz makes. The Tashbetz addresses this question, Chela Gimel, Siman Kuf Yud Gimel. There's a similar idea in Shuvas HaRashbash, Siman Tuf Dalet. So the way the Tashbetz says it is very interesting. He says, one second. And this is, I think, interesting. It's a broad principle. He says, we know that Shas HaTchak is k'diavad dami. So that means when you're in a Shas HaTchak, it's not diavad, it's l'chatchila. L'chatchila in a Shas HaTchak is whatever would normally be b'diavad. So what does that mean in terms of this charish? So it is true that for someone who has hearing, has the ability to hear, so then, Mela, what would we say? We would say that l'chatchila, you have to hear the words that you say, and you're only yotze b'diavad if you don't hear the words that you say. That is for a person who is able to hear. But for a person who's not able to hear, so then what's the din l'chatchila for him to bench or to daven without hearing the words that he says? Right? Because it's a shas hadchak. He doesn't have another choice. He doesn't have the sense of hearing. So for him, l'chatchila. So memela, if it's l'chatchila for him, and I'm yotze through him, it's l'chatchila for me as well. In other words, this isn't a din diavad, it's a din l'chatchila. That's what the Tashbeit says. And therefore the Tashbeit says l'chatchila, you could be l'chazen. L'chatchila, you could lead the zimun. Now, there's another, so that's against the Mishnah Berurah, obviously. There's another way to disagree with the Mishnah Berurah. The other way to reason to disagree with the Mishnah Berurah and Rabbi Akiva Eger is to say a different part, that it's l'chat, let's say you had, again, the shots the deaf person being the mezameh, or the deaf person being the, let's say, let's give our case, he's being the mezameh, and he's even benching out loud, and I'm being yotzei from his benching, right? So the Mishnah Berurah says that it's b'di'evid for me. Why? I'm hearing. Yeah, but he's not hearing. So the Mishnah Berurah is clearly assuming that the gadir shomei ka'ona is shlichos. Let's assume zimun shomei ka'ona, it's shlichos. In other words, whatever he's doing, I'm doing. The shomei ka'ona doesn't mean that I'm yotzei by hearing. I'm yotzei through his speech, as long as I hear. He is my shaliach. And therefore, since it's not l'chatchila for him, because he is medaber ve'eno shomea, so it's not l'chatchila for me. It's like I'm being medaber ve'eno shomea, which isn't l'chatchila. But if you assume, says, and this point is made by the Stipler, and in Brachos Perek, or Simon Yud Gimel, Os Gimel, he says that, oh, but maybe, and he shows this is a machlekes rishonim, maybe there's another way to look at Shmei Ka'onah. Shmei Ka'onah means not that he's doing it for me. It's am yotzei with shmia. He shows this is the view of the Beis Halevi, that the shmia is the kiyam mitzvah, right? When I am shomea, it's like I am medaber. Oh, so since the shomim are shomim be'oznam, so then it's l'chatchila. So again, there's two ways to disagree with the Rabbi Kiva Eger / Bir Halacha Mahalech. One is to say, like the Tashbates, that Shas Hadchak, what would normally be Yavet is now L'chatchila, and this is a Shas Hadchak, because for the Charesh, for the deaf person, it's Shas Hadchak. Or B, to learn like the Beis Halevi and say no, that if this is l'chatchila, because I'm shomei ba'oznai, it doesn't matter that he can't hear in his ears. What matters is that I could hear in my ears. Okay? Very nice. So that is Simen Kuth Tzadi Tes. So let's turn to Simen Kuth Reish. Reish comes after after Kuth. So Reish is really a Geshmak Simen, because it goes through like three or four or five different sugyos in the seventh parak, and spell which are somewhat related, and really the Beis Yosef shows us that in each and every case there's an achlokas rishonim, and we learn how to paskin. So let's just go through the cases. It's a little bit complicated, all these things, getting them straight from the Beis Yosef. So we'll just review each of the sugyos, what the Gemara says, what the Rishonim say, and what we paskin. So we start off with this simin with the Gemara on Daf Mem Hei Amud Beis. The Gemara there talks about Echad Masik L'Shnayim, and Shnayim Ein Masikin L'Echad. That means that you have three people eating, and one of them wants to leave early, so the other two people don't have to be Masik for him. But if two of them want to leave, and one guy wants to continue eating, so we follow the majority. What is that halacha that the third guy has to be mafsik for the first two? So Rashi over there says, Yerech Eretzu she'achad mafsik sudaso l'shnayim ad shi'ezamnu ad hazan. So Rashi says it's Derech Eretz. In other words, two people can't really compel the one person to do it, but Derech Eretz, of course, one person should stop for two people. But two people don't have to stop for one person, though. It's not even Derech Eretz, but the Gemara does say it is Lufnei Mishur Sadeh. Rabbeinu Yonah and many other Rishonim disagree. They say no. Actually, the two people could compel the one person to stop. The Echad is Chayav Lahafzik. Fine. And then Lufnei Mishur Sadeh means, and it's nice for one person to be, for two people to Masik for one, but one person must be Masik for two. Now, Bein L'Rashi, Bein Rabbeinu Yonah, the reason why the Yachid is being mafsik is so that the other people could be mezamein. In other words, as it were, they need him. But the Ravid says, no, the truth is they don't need him. The reason why the yachid has to be mafsik is for himself. Meaning to say, they could actually be mizah. Let's say the one guy decides to keep on eating. Okay, he's going to be a jerk. And he's not, he doesn't have derech eretz. He's just going to keep on eating. So they're still yotze their zimun. They don't need him to answer in order to be mizamin. So why does he have to stop? He has to stop for himself. Why? Because he is chayv in zimun, and he will only be yotze his mitzvah of zimun if he's mafsik. So that is the way the Ravid learns. Now, l'chora, the machlokas is whether you need three people to participate in the zimun or three people to have eaten together and be present. According to the Ravid, I could make a zimun even though I know the third guy is not going to answer as long as he's there. And the Rashba spells that out explicitly. In other words, seems like Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah hold that, and this is the what the Ravid says, l'chura mashma, seems like from this Gemara, but it isn't actually true. The Rashi and Rabbeinu Yonah hold that all three people have to participate in the Zimun. And therefore, let's say like Rabbeinu Yonah, the two could force the third guy to participate. Now, it could be that a nafkamina of this debate would be where you have three people together and you know one of them isn't going to answer. Let's say you have three people, you're eating a meal, and you know that one of the three people maybe because he doesn't read Hebrew and he's embarrassed and whatever. I mean, you could do bezimun in English, as we discussed, but you know he's not going to answer. He's just going to be silent. So according to Rashi Rabbeinu Yonah, I don't know, maybe you can't be mizamein. According to Rabbeinu, but according to the Ravid, so then why not? Because just like, right, just like the Ravid says that they could be mizamein even if he doesn't participate. And the Shulchan Aruch seems to paskin like the Ravid, which case, Lachora comes out that you could also make that Zimun with the third person there, even though he's going to be silent. Now, the next issue that comes up here in Sif Aleph of Simon Reish is Davar Nachutz. What about if three people started eating together and one guy really has got to go, right? They started together, so l'chora there's a chiyuv in zimun, but he's got a business meeting, he's got to move his car for alternate side, whatever it is, he's got to leave. So now, what's the halacha? So the Rashba writes that l'chora can't leave because there's a chiyuv for him to stay. That's what the Mishnah says. Again, we're not talking about pikuach nefesh here. If you think zimun is a derabanan, so you could clear about what level, or even if it's a deraisa, what level of hefsid you have to undergo so as to be over on an iser derabanan or be mevatel and asay. But basically, unless it reaches that madrega, the Rashba says l'chora, you have to stay. You have to stay. Fine. But Rashba quotes Rav Haigon as saying, no, you could leave. You could leave without a zima. So the kasha is, one second, how could Rav Haigon say that? Isn't that against the Mishnah? So l'chora, the answer is that Rav Haigon understood that when the Mishnah says, shlosha shachlu ke'achad chayem muzamein, that meant shlosha shachlu ke'achad. And they didn't finish without each other. In other words, none of them finished first. And likewise, can you hear me with the music? Likewise, when it says in the later Mishnah, Asher L'chalek, it means that if one of them, if they all finished at the same time, then it's Asher L'chalek. But if one of them finished first and he's got to go, so then the Mishnah doesn't say it's Asher. That's what the Bach Sifkat and Beis writes. That's how the Rav Haigon would read the Mishnah. And the Magen Avraham actually over here, Sif Katan Beis, is Medayik. Maybe Rashi would agree to that. Why? Rashi Nunamid Beis, the Maschah below, says that Parshim Hayutzrichim Latzeis Lashuk Kodem Shagamra Chaburos Sudasan. Right? This is talking about the case where the guy has to run outside. So what's going on? What are we talking about in Avarian? So it must be that, yeah, when it's Davar Nachlitz, you could leave early. Now, I don't know if that's a clear ayah, because in that case they were answering from the shuk, right? But that's the Magen Avraham's diyuk. Now, the Beis Yosef, though, limits the Ravid. The Beis Yosef says, you know, when the Ravid, sorry, not Ravid, I mean Rav Haigon, when Rav Haigon says that you're allowed to leave early, you know what that's talking about? When it's Davar Nachutz. In other words, Rav Haigon himself didn't say that. Right? The Lashon of the Rashba is, Avol Ra'isi L'Rav Hai, Gon shekasef in bikesh echad mehem latzeis en hashnayim afsikin sudasan umezamnen imo elohu mevarech la'atzmo b'lo ziman v'yetze v'hem gom sudasan. So sounds like Rav Haigon just says that he could leave early if he wants to. Says the Beis Yosef, that doesn't make any sense. Obviously, Rav Haigon was only talking about a case where it was a very extreme situation where he had this impressing matter. And if shalol lisakev, aval hechad if shalol lisakev, gam ledivrei agon, en rishay levarich v'latzeis l'shuk, achigmu v'rashnayim izamein alayhem. So, how do we paskin? So it's not clear how the mechaber paskins. Is he paskining like the Rashba against Rav Haigon, and or is he talking about a case where there's no davar nachutz? In other words, the mechaber doesn't bring this down, so it's unclear. The Bir Halacha is nesufek, and he's nota to assume that the mechaber would agree with Rav Haigon, though it's difficult because then why didn't he bring it down? L'maisa though the Mishnah Berurah is makel for davar nachutz. Hafsid Meruba. So therefore, halach lemaisa, according to Mishnah Berurah, if you have a hafsid meruba, you know, and you got to leave early, you may do so. We talked about earlier, if you remember, the Magen Avraham discussed the question of leaving early for a dvar mitzvah. Magen Avraham argued that you could, based off of the story in the Reish Galusa, though even in that case it wasn't so clear, because there they were going down to a zimun of three, not a zimun of one. Anyhow, that's the halach. The halacha is that you're allowed to leave if it's a davar nachutz, like a hafsid meruba. However, in that case, it's obvious that the two people should certainly agree to the ziman. First of all, there's always the lifnei mishur hadin. But in this case, they're messing themselves up because he's allowed to leave without the ziman, right? Now, if he leaves, they also lost their ziman. So, of course, they should just make the ziman before they leave. Even in a case where there are four people, they wouldn't lose their ziman. Still, obviously, the right thing to do would be for them to answer the Ziman, though again, they're not obligated to do so. Okay, turning to Sif Beis. So here we start with the Gemara that says, Ad Heichan Birka Ziman, and we have a Machlokas. Rav Nachman says it's Ad Nevarich, but not including Nevarich, not including Birka Sazan. So it's Nevarich Shachan Mishalov, Birka Shachan Mishalov, Zohayinu. And Rav Sheshe says Ad Hazan and including Hazan. In other words, according to Rav Sheshe, the Birka Sazan includes the whole first bracha. So there are two schools of thought in the Rishonim how to learn this. The first is Rashi. According to Rashi, Sheshes holds that the first bracha of Birkas HaMazon, in other words, until no delicha, is part of Birkas HaZimon, and you would only say it if you have a Zimon. If you were benching the Yechidas, you would start with no delicha. The Rishonim all jump on Rashi. How could he say that? Isn't three brachos deraisa? So we already saw the Pnei Shua answers that Rashi must have held, not like Tosfos, that Minyan of Brachos isn't De'oraisa. Maybe all three themes are mid-De'oraisa, but Minyan isn't. So therefore, even if you started with No De'elcha Yoyote amidst the De'oraisa, the second Bracha concludes with Al Haaretz Al Mazon. So you've included Mazon, you've included Eretz Yisrael, you have Ris Vitori, you have Yerushalayim. So you would be Yote mitzvah De'oraisa. Nevertheless, all the Rishonim still disagree with Rashi, and they say, no, of course a Yachid has to say Berachas Hazan. So why does Rav Sheshe say that the Berachas Hazan is included in Berachas HaZimon? It's not because it's part of Berachas HaZimon, but rather the answer is that when someone isn't being mitzdarif in the Zimon, he has to be mafsik for Berachas Hazan. Now, there are three flavors of this position. We'll call this the, right? There are three flavors. What cases they're talking about? What cases Rav Nachman and Rav Sheish is talking about? So the first flavor is the riff. The riff says we're talking about a case of three people eating together, and one of them has got to leave. He can't bench with them. And so, meaning to say, they're benching now with his human, but he's in such a rush, he can't bench now. He's going to have to bench later. So how long does he have to stay? According to Rav Nachman, as soon as they say Baruch Shechan Mishalot V'Chayinu, then he can ditch. And according to Rav Sheshes, no, he's got to wait till the end of Birchas Hazan. According to Rosh, we're talking about a case of Shlosh Shachlu Ke'achad, and like we were just saying before, one of them is mafsik for two. In other words, before he goes back to eating. And the question is, when can he go back to eating? So Rav Nachman says, as soon as they say Baruch Shalom Shalom Tochayinu, he go back to eating. And according to Rav Sheshes, no, he has to wait for them to finish Birchas Hazan. Why? So the Rosh says, because Hazan is not really, well, let's say Birchas Hazimun doesn't really look like a bracha. Nevarich ain a bracha. It doesn't have a shame. It doesn't look like a bracha. It looks like it's just an intro to the Birchas Hazan. And therefore, since it's not really bracha, you have to wait till the end of Birchas Hazan. And the third flavor is the Ravid. It's going on in the Gemara earlier, Memhamid base, that if one of them has to go to the Shuk, Karin lo mizamnin alav. And again, the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Rav Sheshes is until what point does he have to stay? In other words, he's not benching now. He's listening in on Rav Zimun from the outside. And the answer is he's got to stay until they finish Birchas Hazan. Okay, so these are three flavors, and there might be a difference between them. But one way or the other, they're all permutations of the same idea. It's not the pshat that the Birchas Hazan is part of the Zimun, but rather the guy who isn't really benching now has to stick around or not eat until the Birchas Hazan. Now, the Gemara then says, Nema Ketanai, the Tani Chadash Nai Bishlosha, and the other one says, Shlosha Verba. So what's that all about? So according to Rashi, the idea is that according to Rav Sheshes, since the Zimun is called Birchas Hazan and the Yachid doesn't say it, so Birchas Hazan is time to Shalosh, Shalosh Arba. And according to the Rif, the Pshat is talking about a totally different Indian. It's talking about a case where we relate it to, but fundamentally the case is a different Indian. It's talking about a case, as we discussed earlier, about a guy's people who don't know how to bench. Each one knows one bracha. How much could you split Birchas Hazan into? Okay, fine. How do we paskin? So we certainly don't paskin like Rashi Shita, that the Yachid doesn't make the Birchas Hazan. But what about the other question? Meaning to say, do we paskin like Rav Nachman or Rav Sheshes? So the Rif and the Rambam say we paskin like Rav Nachman, that ad nevarech, Birchas Hamazon, Birchas Hazan is not included in the Birchas Hazimun. Rashi writes, we paskin like Rabbi Sheshes. And the Torah says, even though we learn the Rambam, we learn the Gemara like the Rif, but we don't actually paskin like the Rif, because we think we should paskin like Rav Sheshes. Why? Because the halacha is that halacha is like Rav Sheshes Bisuri. In other words, Rav Nachman Bedini, but Rav Sheshes Bisuri. This is Isser. And therefore, we should paskin like Rav Sheshes. And the Beis Yosef writes is also the view of the Tosis, and this is the view of the Rash. So what did the Rif think? In other words, why did the Rif learn paskin like Rav Sheshes? What happened to the rule that halacha is like Rav Sheshes? So if you look at the Rif, he writes, V'chein amadavar tayachid kad mevarich maschil mebirchas hazan. So he writes, first of all, it's the minig. And he says something interesting. He's saying, because look, Rav Sheshes' view is very hard to understand, because the fact is that when a yachid does bench, he begins with hazan. So therefore, why should hazan be shach to the Zimun? The Gra adds that the Yerushalmi sounds like we pass him like Rav Nachman. And the Rif quotes that Yerushalmi. So halach l'maisa, this is a big machlokas. Machayev paskins like Rav Nachman. After all, we'll follow the normal rule that we'll follow the Rif and the Rambam against the Rosh. So we paskin like Rav Nachman. Ramas says we paskin like Rav Sheshes. After all, most Rishonim do seem to accept Rav Sheshes. Now then, the Rosh says something very interesting. Assuming we paskin like Rav Sheshes, which is at least the way Ashkenazim paskin, so the reason, as we said, why the first bracha is not included is because nevarich is not a bracha. And what that means is because it doesn't have the shame. So it doesn't look like a bracha. And it looks like it's going on what we're about to say afterwards, which is Birkas Hazan. So the Torah says, so what would be if you have 10 people and you're mafsik for three are mafsik for the other seven, right? In other words, 10 people ate together, seven of them are benching now, and three of them are going to bench later. They're not finished eating. So the halacha would be that they could begin eating immediately. They don't have to wait till the mezamin finishes the whole first bracha. Because in this case, since they're saying Elokeinu, it looks like a bracha. The Birkas Hazimun looks like a normal bracha. And therefore, it's no problem. They could go back to eating immediately. The Mishnah Berurah and the Magen Avraham writes that in this case, the three of them could actually make a zimun later. Umafsikin l'shlosha l'shiva, ein tzarech l'hafsik el adjam v'barach elokeinu, v'mchazru v'achlu yichoylim l'zamein yachad. So I was a little curious. Does the Mishnah Berurah saying in this case, they can, should they? Mishnah Berurah is basically saying that we don't say parch zimun minayhu in this case because they were only mitzareif for haskaras Hashem, right? So therefore they could make a second zimun. Should they make a second zimun? Not sure. The next sugya that comes up here is, I know we're about out of time. So we'll stop here. We have a little bit left in Siman Reish. Then we have all of Siman Reish Aleph. That's not very big. So we'll certainly finish that next time, Bezus Hashem, on Tuesday. And then what we'll do for the rest of this Zman, until we go to the third parak, is we'll try to be mashlim on all the simanim that we missed earlier and later. We'll also have a chance to see some of the sugyot that we didn't really learn yet. We'll see. I'd like to see the sugyot Shinui Makom, Sugyim Sachim, which Aaron already is a master in, as we know. But for the rest of us, we'll have to learn that sugya, and hopefully in that way we'll have been finished all of Berachas Hilchos Brachos. Abisiyata Dishmaya.
And the next one is which one that we missed? What's the first one we're going to that we missed?
Well, I think we should just go back all the way to the beginning and follow the order. I put it in the WhatsApp.
Okay, fine. It's in WhatsApp. I can find it.
I didn't make a complete list of everything we missed, but where should we start from? So we did Kuf Samech Vav already and Kuf Samech Zayin, right? So I guess Kuf Samech Ches, so whatever I wrote. But we'll start again. Our goal is basically starting from Kuf Samech Vav all the way through hopefully all the way till Reish Yud Ches at the very least.
Okay.
Okay.
You get it. Okay, positive.